A caution about being friends at work. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, starting with a global focus, one of the most troubled economies in the hemisphere. Kellogg's is the latest U.S. company to pull out of Venezuela amid soaring inflation and dwindling access to raw materials. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this.
In closing its factory, Kellogg's has joined other U.S. companies, Kimberly-Clark, General Mills, Procter & Gamble, in exiting Venezuela. Shortly after Kellogg's announcement, President Nicolas Maduro announced that the factory would be handed over to its workers and continue production. The president faces re-election Sunday and says Venezuela's economic crisis is a foreign conspiracy. Kimberly-Clark's diaper and tissue factory, seized in 2016, was also handed to workers. Financed by the government, they continued to produce sanitary products. Kimberly-Clark has filed a formal request with the World Bank's arbitration body for legal action, even though Venezuela withdrew from the mechanism in 2012.
Anu hosts an early edition of the Marketplace Morning Report here. This week, the Seattle City Council unanimously approved what's being called the headcount tax. Businesses that bring in more than $20 million in revenue a year will have to pay the city $275 extra for each full-time employee. It's to raise money for more affordable housing and to deal with homelessness in a booming city where rents run very high. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
Seattle is home to Amazon and has a booming tech sector. That's a lot of revenue and jobs and some pretty big challenges, like affordable housing. Mike O'Brien is a Seattle City Councilman.
So those high-wage workers are squeezing out lower-wage workers out of housing.
The tax money collected would go towards affordable housing and services. Amazon and Starbucks have criticized the decision, and many fear it'll make Seattle less attractive to big business. Aparna Mater with the American Enterprise Institute says there could be less full-time hiring and higher prices if companies pass along costs.
There would be a ripple effect across, you know, definitely the city of Seattle, but also more nationally across the country.
Still, other cities are eyeing the move. Lenny Siegel is mayor of Mountain View, home of Google, and he's hoping to get a headcount tax to the ballot in November. He says there's a danger in not making cities livable.
I'm more afraid that the difficulty in getting workers is driving businesses away.
His city's tax would mainly go toward improving transit. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Markets, the FTSE in London is up just slightly. S&P and NASDAQ futures are little changed. Interest rates have eased a tad from the big spike upward this week. The 10-year Treasury yield remains near its 7-year high, 3.06% here. Strength in the U.S. economy is part of this. Also noted, China sold $2.5 billion of its U.S. Treasuries in March, maybe just because they wanted to sell Treasuries, or maybe China can push up the cost of American borrowing amid trade tensions with the U.S. We can all agree, you're not allowed to be a jerk at work. But does everyone really have to be friends? The chair of the management department at the Wharton School of Business, Nancy Rothbard, has just published a study with the title Friends Without Benefits, Understanding the Dark Sides of Workplace Friendship.
We all have friends at work. We all want to have friends at work because we spend a lot of time there. But it's also complicated. And this is something that I started to research with a doctoral student of mine, Juliana Pillemer. We started to really delve into why is this so complicated? Why is friendship so hard sometimes at work?
All right. Now, I don't want to be, you know, that guy, but I have to point out sometimes friendships at the office are a time suck, right? Yeah, you listen to a lot of personal stories and personal problems that, you know, can take up a little bit of work time.
It sounds like you've read our paper, David, because if you've got a friend that you've been spending a lot of time with, that can distract you from the other things that you're trying to do at work, which is get your own work done or, you know, exceeding expectations as often we like to do.
And if two coworkers are close, it can breed a little bit of resentment for people who don't see themselves as quite as close.
it's the classic clique problem, right? Where you have two people are really close, or maybe three people are close, and they feel excluded from that friendship. And whenever you have that kind of dynamic, it can breed envy and resentment. When you're at work, that also has implications for how people feel about whether decision making is just and fair.
And I know you've also looked at what happens when you add technology, social media, to this mix of work friendships.
Online social media has the effect of exacerbating some of these dynamics and making, for example, some of the cliques really visible. You know, all of a sudden it becomes really clear that you and I were off at a movie over the weekend and somebody else was left out of that invitation. That's the kind of thing that you want to be aware of as you navigate these kinds of relationships and just be sensitive to those dynamics.
So your collaborator on this piece, Juliana, you said her name was?
Yes, Juliana Pillemer.
Nancy, is she your friend?
She's my friend, but I'm also her advisor. And we've actually both talked about it. And that is something that I think that you can do with friends at work, which is to kind of name it or label it and say, we're friends, but we also are coworkers. And sometimes the coworker part is going to win out. And so knowing when each of those roles is salient and the right person to be is important.
The piece is called Friends Without Benefits, Understanding the Dark Sides of Workplace Friendship. Nancy Rothbard is the chair of the management department at Wharton. Professor, thanks.
Thank you. It's been great to talk with you.
We also talk about that extra bad idea, romantic relationships at work. Yes, you're saying you know examples where they lived happily ever after, but statistically speaking, what are the odds? A director's cut of that conversation with Dr. Rothbard will be at marketplace.org later today. We even address so-called work wives and work husbands. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.